This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My special guests on Bent Notes are two improvising brass players who met at the National Jazz Awards in Wangaratta in 2017. One got through to the semi-finals and the other made it to the finals where he took third place. Since that time, they've discovered a shared interest in some aspects of music, including the chordless sound. And I don't think that refers to radio mics. It's my pleasure to bid a very warm welcome to trumpeter Tom Avgenikos and trombonist Josh Benia. Welcome, guys.
Thank you so much for having us, David.
Thanks for having us. It's great to be here.
It is a pleasure indeed. Let's start with the term chordless sounds. Now, that chord is C-H-O-R-D. What is it and why does it draw you both?
Yeah, I'll start. Well, chordless essentially means that there's no harmonic instrument in the instrumentation, so basically no piano or no guitar. I guess for me, I've always been really drawn to that sound, especially in Australian bands. We're really fortunate to have such a wide array of chordless ensembles in Australian music. You know, a lot of Scott Tinkler's music, Eugene Ball, Dave Addis, Warwick Alder as well. I've always loved that sound, and it's been a big inspiration for the way I play and my own music.
Josh, where did your love of chordless music come from?
Yeah, so I've really been sort of drawn back to this album by Scott Tinkler called The Future in Today, with Ian Chaplin, Phil Rex, and Scott Lambie, and it's just for me like the quintessential Australian chordless album. I find it really fun to play chordless because there's so much more you can do because you don't have all of that sort of, you know, all of those mids and all of those filler sounds. And I feel like it also means that, you know, the drummer can potentially play out a bit more and fill more space because there's more room in that sonic spectrum with, you know, the bass being very low and just having sort of melody instruments and drums.
When you talk about chordless music, is it actually chordless? Do you ignore the chords entirely?
No. So we're still, you know, we'll often, well, I mean, you could if you wanted to, but...
Yeah, speak for yourself, Josh.
What was that?
I was going to say speak for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, we still write a lot of music that still has chords present and we're still following those chords, but there's no harmonic instrument laying them down. So, you know, that gives the bass player more freedom to move around and to be listening to each other and sort of stretch around that. Generally, I feel like the smaller amount of people playing at once, which obviously happens when you take somebody out of the rhythm section, the easier it's going to be to try and move with each other to go to another place that might not be written on the page.
Josh, you've said there that your album of choice there is Scott Tinkler in terms of chordless. Tom, where did you first find out about this chordless sound? Was it an intentional educational aspect, or was it something you've been enjoying for a while and all of a sudden realised it was chordless insofar as not having a piano or a guitar?
Oh, I think, you know, when I was in high school, I listened to a lot of Sonny Rollins trio albums. So just bass, drums and tenor saxophone. And I really, really love that sound. Just the sort of the space that's available, and especially the way Sonny Rollins plays. It's just absolutely incredible the way he's able to use that space and also not use that space as well. As Josh mentioned before, the Future of Today album is a huge inspiration, a huge moment for me when I heard that album for the first time as well. Probably Josh and I probably agree on sort of a list of Australian chordless albums that sort of are iconic in that sense, for that chordless sound.
Do you feel that the band lineup without the chordal instruments gives you as a performer more freedom?
Yeah, and then there's, in some ways, it doesn't as well. I think when I'm playing with a piano or a guitar, like I tend to rely on that a little bit more. And then all of a sudden you do have to change the way you're playing, because there's suddenly all of this harmony that you're no longer able to interact with. I remember the first time Josh and I started this project, it was really uncomfortable. Well, I don't know about you, Josh, but it was for me.
No, that's fair.
And it did take quite a while to get used to. But yeah, once you sort of embrace the space, yeah, it's like a buzz term, embrace the space, yeah, it does become a lot more comfortable and liberating.
The project you're talking about, of course, is Tuckerbox, which is the brand new album that's just been released. We'll be talking a little bit more about that. But before we get there, I'd like to ask about the National Jazz Awards back in 2017, where you both competed against each other. What was the best part of the weekend up there in Wangaratta? Was it the competition itself, or was it the opportunity to hang with the heroes of your musical life?
Definitely being able to hang with the heroes. I mean, the judges when we were there that year were Scott Tinkler, who we've been talking so much about, and Nadia Nordhaus and Adrian Sheriff. So they're all phenomenal brass players. But I found the best thing, you know, we got to hang out with and hear 9 other brass players from around Australia that we may not have heard before, and they all sounded awesome. And I guess whatever city you live in, brass players can be a bit of a rarity in the jazz circles sometimes. I mean, Melbourne's very lucky, but I'm definitely talking to a few friends from Adelaide and Perth and wherever else everybody was coming from. It's like just great to get everybody in sort of one place and all get to hear each other around the same time.
Tom, you grew up with your music, with music in your family, and your brother plays sax. He's older than you. Was he an inspiration for you to take up the trumpet?
Well, my dad actually played trumpet in high school, and I didn't want to play the same instrument as my brother. So that was the reason for me choosing the trumpet. Yeah, I think definitely the path, obviously Mike was a few years ahead of me, and the path that he was on really inspired me. You want to just be like your big brother? But one day my mum came home with a Jamie Abizol backing track book. My brother was playing along and I started to join in. I think that was probably, from that moment, it was, you know, the path was sort of set, I think.
Do you have a sense from Wangaratta as well that it was the hanging with the other musicians up there as opposed to the competition? Although I'm sure you were thrilled to get a place up there.
Well, at the time I was sort of annoyed because I just wanted to go to the pub and you know, hang out with everyone. And it was sort of like, oh no, I have to go do this again. But yeah, definitely just after, you know, once I'd played first time, I think just hanging out and hearing everyone was an incredible experience. And yeah, I really hope it does happen again. The Wangaratta Festival, I hope it ends up going ahead again this year with all the restrictions and everything. It's such a great experience and a community feel for musicians all around the country who don't really get to contact each other or hear each other play very often.
There's something about all performing at different gigs on the same nights.
Right.
I'd like to hear a little bit more about the Tuckerbox project and the album just been released called Dash. But before we do that, I reckon we might have a listen to the first track, the title track, which is called Dash. My special guests on Bent Notes are Tom Evgenikos and Josh Benia. You are listening to Joy 94.9. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9, where my special guests are Josh Bennier and Tom Evgenikos. Now, you both have a love of through-composed music, featured, Josh, in your modular album, of which we spoke about earlier in this year, and Tom in your Delay 45 Big Ears album, which was an album we spoke to you about late last year. I recall when we spoke last year, Tom, that you liked through composition because you fitted more in, because there's no gaps. Now you've both collaborated on a new project called Tuckerbox. Was through composition a serious consideration for this album?
Kind of not at all, actually. we've both obviously worked a lot with through composed music before and making longer works. This was kind of the project where we just wanted to make the music really, really simple. Well, not simple, but trying to make it just so it was not easy either, but like we wanted to be able to play around with it once we get there. Like, so the form and everything like that is actually quite simple, and then it's more about how we could improvise over those songs rather than what was written on the page. So I think it was slightly less about composition in this project, comparing it to both of those projects that you've mentioned from us.
Does the intent of an album change from your initial concept to the final outcome?
Yeah.
That's a good question. That
is an interesting question. I mean, so much changed from the first project, well, the first time we played this music to when we recorded. Obviously, with the distance between Melbourne and Sydney, we only had a few opportunities to play. So we did a first little tour where the two Melbourne members drove up to Sydney and we played some gigs in Sydney and Canberra. And then later in the year, the two musicians from Sydney came down and we played some gigs in Melbourne. And that was kind of, we did those first two trips. And actually, that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah, just two trips. I think the first time we played together, we sort of didn't know what to expect. Yeah, sort of like after that first little tour, we sort of intrinsically knew what we needed to do. Nothing was really discussed, but I think, yeah, just that first contact of playing each other and trying out all the repertoire and just playing in that style after we'd done that first little tour, then we sort of knew what to do, I think, after that. Yeah, I guess you don't know until you try, right?
Well, that's exactly right. Now, you've got two other members of the band, apart from yourselves, your bass and drummer. How did you choose them? Were they people who you knew would do a great job with this particular style of music? Are they musos that you've had experience with before?
Well, we thought it'd be good to have sort of choose one member from Melbourne and one from Sydney so that we could, it just made a bit more sense with travel-wise and those sorts of things as well. I was pretty set on having Luke Andreessen as the drummer. We've been long-time collaborators for years now, played on the last five of my albums. I think we met in 2013, maybe, just as I was finishing school and sort of played together then. We've been hanging out for a long time. Obviously, he's an incredible musician, but part of it was we wanted this project to be with the sort of people where we could, you know, call and, you know, do a rehearsal for 3 days rather than doing a rehearsal for 2 hours on a Sunday or something like that. So we wanted to find people that would be as interested as this being a much more full-on project than, you know, some other projects where obviously, you know, you just call everybody up and you do as short of rehearsals because everybody's very busy. But the way that this ended up working out, that's kind of why I decided to go with Luke.
And Jacques Emery, Tom?
Oh, yeah, well, I think Jacques is one of the most incredible musicians, so gifted, also such a great guy to work with as well. So for me, he was a no-brainer in terms of this project. I've actually played with Luke a little bit prior to this project as well, in another one of Josh's projects. I guess I felt comfortable with having Luke involved, and I knew Jacques could fit right in with having known Luke's playing and Josh's playing. So, yeah, for me, he was a no-brainer.
With Jacques, we had actually met a few years earlier at the Australian Art Orchestra's Creative Contender.
The project is called Tuckerbox. The album's called Dash. And it's only as I've been talking to you that Two and Two have dropped into place, and I have a sense of where the name might have come from. Is it got anything to do with Gundagai?
Yes.
Is that because it's halfway between Melbourne and Sydney?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And we also have, you know, travelled along the Hume Highway so much, travelling between Melbourne and Sydney, so sort of, yeah, just seemed to fit in nicely, I think. And we both love dogs.
Sorry, oh, that's good to hear.
There, but I'm back now. it has a lot to do with Gundagai. Gundagai is, yes, as you said, the halfway point between Melbourne and Sydney. And when Luke and I first travelled over, that was where we stopped. That was obviously very symbolic.
Very much. And I love the Dash Hound, I am assuming it is, on top of the Tucker Box that has a mask across his eyes and then a cape.
Yeah, so the bit of, I guess the story was, we were, when Luke and I first headed over to Sydney, that was when the Tucker Box had been vandalised and the dog that is on the Tucker Box had been pushed off of the Tucker Box. And I had written that tune called Dash, which was about a superhero sausage dog. So we thought, I mean, that's kind of funny. What if we put the sausage dog on top of the Tucker Box and that can be the album cover?
And it works extremely well, Josh. Listening to the album, I heard a very big component of discussion between the two of you in particular. And some of those discussions I thought were nice and sweet and nice, and perhaps discussing your favourite cream biscuits maybe. But at other times I could hear a great change in the energy level, an upping of the energy level, and perhaps it even sounded a bit like an anger in the manner in which the discussion was almost one way for a period of time. But at other times it sounded like you're both shouting each other at the same time. Before, to me, it sounded as if someone realises they won't win that part of the discussion, so they quieten down. What do you feel when you're in the midst of recording these chordless productions?
Interestingly, like you go.
All right. We'll be democratic. All right. I was
this
just going to say
how the recording session went, by the way.
What was that? Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like us being super comfortable with each other was a very important part of how the music ended up sounding, because we wanted to have a more open feel, and we did want to sort of have, you know, trading sections or that sort of thing, but we didn't want to be trading fours or trading eights or anything like that. We'd much rather trade phrases or little expressions. And, you know, if that means somebody plays for a minute before the other person gets 10 seconds in, then that's how it works out. Being able to sort of hear each other and know each other's playing well enough that we kind of know what they're trying to put out, and then also, you know, make your own mind as well.
Tom, how did you feel with those discussions going on musically?
To date, that recording session that we did was the easiest I've ever done. Everything just seemed to flow on that day those 2 days. For whatever reason, everything was like one or two takes. Yeah, I don't really know if much was actually said. Yeah, aside from just playing. And I think prior to that recording session, you know, just playing together so much, like Josh mentioned, we were playing together for 3 days rehearsing and performing. I think just the connection we'd all established really helped, and nothing really needed to be said explicitly, and it was just, I think it was just about playing music and reacting and responding, and really about staying in the moment.
Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed listening to Dash this past week. I've listened to it a few times now, and it's just a great way to spend some time and have something interesting happening. Certainly, as I said, those discussions that take place between you musically are just so enjoyable. Will there be more of Tucker Box?
Definitely.
I am pleased to hear it.
We definitely hope so.
I will be looking forward to when that arrives, because I think it's something that's well worth listening to. In order to find Dash, the album from the Tuckerbox Project, it's released on Static Records and it is available on Bandcamp. Gentlemen, thank you so much for chatting with me on Bent Notes, Josh Benia and Tom Evgenikos. It has been a real pleasure to hear about your music and your chordless innovations. I'm looking forward, as I said, to hearing more from Tuckerbox.
Thanks so much for having us, David.
Thanks so much for having us.
A pleasure indeed. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9, where my special guests have been Tom Evgenikos and Josh Benio.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.